President Bush is in Australia today, wrapping up his Asia-Pacific tour. The Democratic presidential contenders are swarming around Iowa and New Hampshire, and our regular political commentators join us once again to talk about things political. E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post here in our studio. Thanks for coming back.
Good to be here.
And New York Times columnist David Brooks, who joins us today from Nashville. David, hello.
Good to be with you.
I wanted to start out by talking about the vote yesterday in the Senate that would outlaw an abortion procedure called intact dilation and extraction, or what critics call partial birth abortion. President Bush says he looks forward to signing the bill. He says it will end an abhorrent practice. How does this play out on the political scene? Does this become an issue in the upcoming presidential race? E.J. Dionne, what do you think?
I actually think it's an issue for the base of each party. I mean, in each party, there is a sizable but minority constituency that cares passionately about this, the pro-lifers on the Republican side, the pro-choicers on the Democratic side. The problem for pro-choicers on this is that the Right to Life movement's picked this one because of all of the kinds of fights you can have over abortion. Late trimester abortions of all kinds are, in a sense, the least popular. I think pro-choice Democrats are going to say, I'd oppose this. This is a difference with Bush. It's why pro-choice voters should be with us. But I don't think it's going to play a huge role.
We did see Senators Joe Lieberman, John Kerry voting against this ban. John Edwards missed the vote. He said he would have opposed it. On the House side, Dick Gephardt has voted with Republicans for the ban. David Brooks, any thoughts on how this split is shaping up?
Could be an interesting class distinction here. Partial birth ban is wildly unpopular in Santa Monica, Beverly Hills, and more in college-educated areas. It's popular among more working class and especially Catholic middle class areas. And Gephardt has always portrayed himself as more the man of the people, the middle class candidate, working class candidate, rather than the coastal Democrat. And this sort of underlines that, though. I do think what we're seeing here is Dick Gephardt voting his conscience, as the others probably are too. But his conscience sticks out a little more from some of the other Democrats, especially on social issues.
And there are quite a few Catholics in Iowa and New Hampshire, which happen to be two important states.
Let's turn to the vote in Congress on the $87 billion spending bill for Iraq and Afghanistan. Wondering whether the alignments as they broke down on this bill, which turned on the question of whether this would be a grant or a loan, did that play out along the typical party lines? It seems like it really didn't. David Brooks, what do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think the big difference was between those senators, Democratic senators who voted against the president, against the $87 billion, a very small percentage, and mostly on the solidly liberal side of the party, Barbara Boxer, Tom Harkin, people like that, with the exception of John Kerry and John Edwards, who you would never have imagined would have voted this way if they weren't running for president. But they have to appeal to the liberal base, and I think I think it was almost a disgraceful way they handled this vote, only surpassed by Wes Clark, who spent several days saying he wouldn't even declare which side he would vote on because he's not a senator, and he really tried to weasel his way out of it, finally coming down and saying he too would have voted against.
E.J. Dionne?
I disagree with David on this disgraceful business. I think what you saw here is the president proposing this spending bill. Most everybody in their hearts knows at some point we're going to have to pass a spending bill for Iraq. But the president was willing to give no ground. He's not willing to ask anything of his own constituency. And I think a lot of members of Congress looked at the president and said he has a completely sort of do it my way or you can't do it at all, a no negotiation approach. And so I think this was a cry of protest. And I think that crazy quilt coalition on the loan were liberals who said, why can't we spend some of this money in our own districts? And conservatives who said, look, we'd vote against this money for the United States. Why should we vote for it for Iraq?
There was a decision announced this week by Wesley Clark and Joe Lieberman that they will not be competing in the Iowa caucus. They're going to instead focus on the New Hampshire primary, which is about a week later. Think anybody else might be tilting in that direction, saying Iowa just isn't working out for me? And do you think this is a smart move on their part? Does Iowa really matter? E.J. Dionne?
There's a history that if you skip Iowa, it doesn't do all that well by you. John McCain certainly learned that. He didn't compete in Iowa. He did great in New Hampshire, and then for various reasons, he didn't make it. I think the problem with this is we always try to replay the last race. I think if Howard Dean manages to win both New Hampshire and Iowa, then people will wonder, well, gee, should we have derailed Dean? But right now, it does look like in Iowa that the two candidates, Richard Gephardt and Howard Dean, have a really strong both organizational and popular support advantage over the others. And so I think Lieberman and Clark figured, we can't play in the state that requires a lot of organization. In Lieberman's case, that's fairly liberal. We'll let those two guys beat each other's brains out, and we'll try to jump ahead of them in the game.
David Brooks, bad strategy, good strategy? What do you think?
I think a good strategy for the two of them, because neither of them could have done very well there. Though, you know, I was out in Iowa last week, and I came away thinking I know a lot less about this campaign than I did before I went there. I really had thought, and judging by the media coverage, you might think that it really is Wes Clark and Howard Dean, the two surging outsiders. But I really get the sense that there's a lot more interest than I thought there was in Gephardt, Kerry, and Edwards, and some of the so-called insiders. And that we really should be paying a lot more attention to these people. And we even saw that in the polls that have just come out, where Howard Dean has lost a little, and some of the alleged insiders, Kerry, Gephardt, and Edwards, have surged a little. So I think while it's right for the last two, Lieberman and Clark to get out, I'd say it's still wildly up for grabs in Iowa.
There is a new poll out this week from the Pew Research Center that has what the Pew folks can characterize as a negative message for the White House on people's views of the economy and the president's performance. 43% of those polled say President Bush's economic policies are making the economy worse. And even among Republicans, support seems to be pretty lukewarm. 40% say the economic policies of the president are positive, but 40% say they haven't had much impact. Do you think this is troublesome, A.J. Dionne?
I think these are very troublesome numbers for the president. I was struck that his approval rating is the lowest it's been since August of 2001, right before 9/11. But even more striking, in that August poll of a couple of years ago, only 32% disapproved. Now 42% disapproved. There's a hardening against Bush on that side. The other striking number is, if you go back to September 2000, 41% said they were dissatisfied with the way things are going in the country. Now 56% are dissatisfied. I think what you're seeing in this poll is that the Iraq effect is not only not working anymore, but Iraq is starting to work against the president, and people are focusing much more on the economy. It was very striking that one of the sharpest drops for Bush were among voters who say in their localities jobs are hard to find. Now, in June, when the president was high, even two-thirds of those voters were still sympathetic to the president. That's dropped down to 41%. That's a real problem.
David Brooks, is there a silver lining for President Bush in here?
I guess the silver lining would be, I guess I don't think this matters. We're still a year away from the election, and we're seeing, while public perception of the job market is still negative, as the poll indicates, we're seeing a clear turnaround in economic terms on the fundamentals. The $64,000 question is whether people notice it a year from now. And this poll, nothing we know about today, will give us the answer to that question. We could be in a booming economy a year from now without new jobs, in which case the president would be in trouble, or there could be new jobs, in which case he'll be in superb shape. I just don't think we know.
We'll end on that. David Brooks of The New York Times and E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and Brookings Institution, thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
Good to be with you.